So. Thank you, everybody, for being here. It's awesome to see you here. I am humbled. It's humbling to see everybody here that wants to come here and engage. So I'm going to do a quick intro. We're going to be, again, on a tight timeline. So I may bark during the day. That doesn't mean I'm mad or angry. I just means let's get our troops ready to rally. So there's a lot of material to cover. I will try to go through it as quick as I can, but do it well. So there might be some things I don't hit on that on the paper there in front of you. And so really what I believe in, the key to today is about the practice. It's really about getting sharp in the spirit and being able to employ the tools and the weapons that God gave you. So I don't like to overdo it as far as the speaking goes, because you can only take so much. And then you gotta eat it, digest it, kind of go someplace and be quiet with it, right?
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. All right, so let me do a quick intro. My name is Don Davis, and I am with the Firestorm Ministries team. And my background is varied. Right now, I'm a captain with the sheriff's office. And no, you're not under surveillance or anything. I'm in my the tail end of my career. I know it. I feel it. And so just letting you know, that's part of my background. Also, when I was part of my background, I have been involved in training. You'll probably be able to detect, I have a trainer background, context. I speak a lot of things. There's a particular, that's my DNA. That's what God has placed in me. And so my role is really to see you get from point A to B and do it well, do it successfully. It's not about me speaking so much as is showing, telling, doing, and then having you become more and better than when you came in through the door or the session. Let's talk about purpose. The reason why you're here, and we wanted to get people together. We know that you're here to sharpen your saw or to sharpen your sword. And it's also an opportunity to hold your compass up and adjust your course if necessary. What I'm going to present is not anything really new or anything really cutting edge. All right? It's a lot of reminders. But there are some things that we need to hear again. You need to hear the word of God repeatedly, don't we? Yeah. I am going to show some ideas. And I think that it's not like you haven't been exposed to it before, but you haven't taken the idea and used it in a particular context. So when you start talking about groups, prophetic groups and leadership, command and control and things like that, don't get alarmed when I start saying those terms. They're terms I'm borrowing from other cultures and places. And also remember, I can't be exhaustive with any particular topic. It's too deep. And so the idea, again, is to put the idea out there, create some sparks, and see if I can get some fire started. All of us can do more research later. And the thing about the research is the internet, the books, the trade journals, the everything that's out there, the Christian TV. What we have to be careful at times is, especially in our work, be careful not to drown in all the information. Mm-hmm. We have to take what's usable and take what works. So you're here because you're hungry, you're desirous, or you're curious, and that's fine. You're here to improve and to sharpen your swords. And you're taking a deliberate and intentional step in your prophetic journey, in your spiritual journey. So I'm going to talk about today's activity, some things to think about. We're going to get do a lot of hands-on practice, and it's an opportunity for you to get dialed in. I like to use the word calibrated, the tuning forks. Ding, right? see if you're calibrating, if you're hearing, which you are. Now, many of you, if not all of you, are going to get refreshed and recharged today. I see a lot of weapons in here. A lot of this military and paramilitary and the cop stuff is going to come out. But when I look at you, I see a lot of strength, power. You've been around the block. You've been around the mountain a couple times. You know things. So I really look forward to today, what the Holy Spirit is going to do through you. You're going to receive Rhema words to confirm, challenge, or predict who and what you are. And some of you are going to get activated to new levels today. Today.
Awesome!
Hallelujah.
Bring it, Jesus.
No.
We say yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Remember, the words that you get, you're going to have to walk them out by faith. Mm-hmm. There are many words that you get, you're going to have to walk out by faith. Mm-hmm. Agreed?
Agreed.
Amen.
Amen.
So, saying all those things, do try to relax, enjoy the day, let's see what the Holy Spirit will do. And I sense His weight of glory in here. So there's going to be things He's going to do, we're going to let Him do it. Now, this is training, and the Lord will honor that. This is training, so you're allowed to make mistakes. And in the training environment, take some risks. Stretch yourself. Not just me stretch you, but you take the risk, take the step and stretch yourself. So, but quick words about style and tone. I like being simple and direct with the instructions. And again, I may bark in the microphone to get us to rally or do some particular thing or task. Don't worry about that. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Okay? I love you. My goal today is to get you to apply what's being presented. That is success. So I'll be gauging you, I'll be watching you, see how you take it, receive it, mm-hmm. All right? I know that my style is not everybody's cup of tea, it's not everybody's flavor, and I get that, but really what you're here for, get those nuggets. Mm-hmm. A lot of you have been in heavy training, you have a lot of experience. Really, when you start going to conferences and seminars at many of your levels, you're there for the nuggets. You're there to get those pieces that are really valuable that you can acquire and then apply. I may use some stories to illustrate points. I promise you, I will not compromise anybody. People go unknowns, and I try to make it remote locations so you can't try to do any digging and find out who they are. Okay?
Oh, darn it.
I know. Now, questions. You may have some questions. I'd be surprised if you don't. But because we're on such a tight timeline, try to hold them. Unless there's something like, what did you mean on this, a word, or something else. And the reason is, we'll get lost. We'll, please don't, jump up and say, well, how does this fit with the 70 weeks of Daniel? beyond the scope. So, but we'll take it offline, okay? That's the thing, offline, right? Also, with the book, you'll probably find something. Say, I don't agree with that, and that's fine. That's fine. I'd be surprised if you agreed with every single point in there. But that's not the point. The point is, again, to get fine-tuned with the Holy Spirit. Now, I should mention this, but I do see a lot of experience here. And so I'm sure I'm not speaking to anybody here, but I do mention this, and that is, please do not, that we, under the Holy Spirit and under these type of meetings, the Holy Spirit, there's all kinds of spiritual activity, and things are being activated. And sometimes there's other things that are getting activated. And so sometimes people get an idea or they get something, they want to jump up and they want to, what I call that is a hijacker. And I'll arrest you. I'm just kidding. But the thing is, keep in mind, hold that. Hold your peace. And then if you've got something that's really important, it's really pressing and burning and earning, come up and we'll take it offline. Okay? Remember 1 Corinthians 14:40, where it says that everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Now, I'm also going to do this. I'm going to talk to you as if You are, like me, an instructor, a leader, in a lot of areas here. Okay, so we're going to be like face-to-face, instructor to instructor. We're going to start discussing some issues that we need to discuss because you will be leading groups.
That's right.
Not everybody. And I speak to some of you right now. You're going to be leading these groups. And so everything that we talk about, you're going to have to remember and bring it to them at some point in their journey. Okay, but go to the first page. It's a preface.
Yeah.
Here's my first one. I'm kidding. Preface. Now, what I'll do is I'll just say paragraph one, paragraph two, if you can follow along. I don't want to read the whole thing. The workshop takes into account the following assumptions: that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, or you are what desirous to be. You believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. You have knowledge or some knowledge about the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the New Testament office of a prophet. I can't remember. We're going to go dive deep into some areas that I believe the Lord wanted me to share with you. So we can't unpack all the beginning stuff, right? You're at a different level. You're at a higher level. You've operated, the fourth point, you've operated in spiritual gifts or have a desire to operate them. You want to go deeper in the prophetic dimensions. That's why you're here. You know the basic meanings and concepts of logos and rhema. Okay? Here we go. So, we're here, and we're of like minds. So now let's start getting into some deeper topics. Go to paragraph 3. In preparing for today, I really tried to lean into Holy Spirit for guidance and try to hear what He would want to bring. And so that's the challenge. Because I started writing, and I'm kind of going, okay, where's this all going to go? And start forming it, right? And so it started to, and more started to come as the days went by before today. So again, I hope that this subject matter brings a challenge to you. Fourth paragraph, of course, the biggest reason why we're here is the practice. So that's very important to keep your prophetic edge. If you're not out there and you're practicing, or you're in an environment that is nurturing and engaging and encourages this, you're going to start losing some things. You're going to lose the edge.
Right.
All right? And we've had testimonies of people who did have gifts of prophecy that when not exercised, they start losing it. And keep in mind that the spirit of prophecy, the atmosphere, is with us always. It's really a matter of engaging, getting into it. Lord, help me to get into it, stay in it. Fifth paragraph, that's below the box. Now, our challenge is not to leave anything undone or unsaid when we have opportunities to make significant differences and impacts in people's lives. And of course, when we speak and act, we want the Holy Spirit to be the force behind our impact. The rhema word that you speak to individuals, and I know you know this, but it can make all the difference in their lives, those people that we're in contact with. So we want to be armed and ready. Sixth paragraph, the bottom. Today you'll be challenged to put on a prophetic mindset, and I like to use the word prophetic grid. Now, there's all kinds of grids out there. When I go to work, I have a police officer grid in my the way I look at things and think, and the way I think. If you are an engineer, you have an engineering grid. You just see things from an engineering perspective. If we translate that to the church, pastors see things in a pastoral grid. So what do they see? They protect. They want to make sure people are nurtured, that they are fed, and that they are... They bring a teaching and learning. Prophets see what? What's their grid?
Seeing the Spirit.
Everything is prophetic. Everything is prophetic.
Yeah.
Colors. Mm-hmm. Looking at the clock. Mm-hmm. I could tell you stories about that. Man. The things people say.
Yeah.
books. A person could be speaking, and in their mind, it is all carnal, natural, and you're seeing prophetically. I had that happen to me just recently. I could take so many things he was saying and apply them prophetically. So, because that's the grid. An evangelist sees what? Save the world. Save the world. And set up everything to support the evangelist and to get souls saved. So, one of the things I want to mention before I leave this page is you need to reach inside yourself. See how this Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And it's not the various ways. I know you know that, but I want to remind you, it's in various ways that he speaks to you. Take the risk today. Remember that no one is 100% on target in the prophetic. No one. No one. You'll hear me say that again. So, now, one more thing. The Holy Spirit may veer. So we may veer off the written work here and all that, and he may take us into places, uncharted territory. We may do a lot of prayer. I don't know. That's the way he does things. I give him freedom to do it. We do. And he does that. That's the way he is. He's very dangerous when we give him free reign. Yes, thank you. Okay, let's go to part one. I'm going to move fast. I'm going to talk about our motivation. Why do we do this? Well, we want to read. I love 1 Corinthians 13 because it's a reminder that this is our motivation. It's love. We want to love each other. Say, well, you know, I'm not feeling a lot of love for the people, and I don't love a lot of people. Believe me, I had to work through that. Okay, but the Holy Spirit can give you that. Yes. He can work with you on that. So, and keep in mind, you don't have to feel gushing love to start operating.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit knows your position, and you can start doing that. And when he works in you, that you deliver those words. You don't have to feel the gush of love first. But I'm going to read that real quick. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. When we think of that, you know what that would be like? You know, every time you open your mouth, and if you wanted to keep speaking, and again, if you don't have love, after a while, it gets irritating. You're not edifying me. This isn't working for me. All right? You want to know that you're loved. Yeah. I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What Paul's saying is it's worthless. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, then I become super powerful and respected around the world. But I don't have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. It's kind. Oh, there's fruits. Look, love has fruits. And it's not jealous. Love does not brag, and it's not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. It isn't provoked. It doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But as he goes on, there are gifts of prophecy. They're going to be done away with. All the tools and equipment that we're given on the earth, we don't take them there because the perfect is there. So what do you mean? I don't take my gift of prophecy? Are you kidding? I'm going to prophesy up there. Right? No, they're tools for here. So our motivation is love. And it's important that we get reminded of that. Now, the thing when 1 Corinthians 14:1, if you look at the box, pursue love, yet desire earnestly the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks in mysteries. So in 1 Corinthians 14:1, that's below the box, the word desire in the Greek is zelu. It's a derivative of the word zealous, where we get our English word zealous. Zelos, where we get our English word zealous. The word zelu means to burn with zeal and connotes the idea that we'd be heated to a boil. Now, a lot of people take liberties with the Greek, and they come up with all kinds of things. And I like this myself. I think that's more realistic. But
right.
Paul used the word for good. Let's get heated to a boil. Let's start stirring. And in that stirring, you get hot and you start bubbling and boiling. You have the green light to go for it.
Yes.
I'm saying you have the green light to go for this.
Yes.
Something should go pop. You're going to love, but you're also going to have gifts. He wants to gift you. Also, being properly adjusted as to our motivations will help us prevent us from being self-willed. And if we're loving properly, giving honor to the Father, we can avoid becoming self-willed and self-directed. We'll be sensitive and willing to do what the Lord wants us to do. If we're in love with Him, self-will just seems so foreign. But if we're not in love with Him, if we don't love the people, if we don't love the church, I mean, really, we're going to start taking matters in our own hands, and we're going to start self-directing and self-exhibiting self-will. Now, the danger of being self-willed is expressed in Matthew 7:22. That is, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Right? It's a very sobering statement. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work in iniquity. I have to believe that some of those people are going to be self-willed and self-directed,
yeah,
and not having that agape, that love for people, the church, for Him, right? It's a sobering statement. Also, in John 15:5, Jesus said that He is the vine and we are the branches. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Now, some people might say, after reading the above, one may be thinking that we should just play it safe. But we're not called to do that. We're not called to play it safe. We're born into the conflict. So we might as well learn how to deal with that and use the power that He wants to invest in us. Now, being self-willed doesn't mean changing an unauthorized course in your ministry. Self-willed folks also refuse to hear and obey. For their own protective and selfish reasons, they will not move into the places and dimensions that are available. And the Lord's saying, go, green light, take it, go, run with it. I will be with you. You love me. I'll enhance that. We also have to remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14. Now, this is really an interesting story. He's given us talents, particular gifts, and we're responsible to carry that mission in His directions. It's a serious error to ignore the message and instructions, then hide away the investment. It's an amazing story, isn't it? The wicked servant buried it. Some translations call it a bag of money. Not just one talent, but a bag of money. And we know the result. No, I won't do that. I just want this, which is less. And it'll settle for the safe existence. And it was catastrophic. It's not a threat. It's just, these are the realities. We are in a conflict, and we're being pulled in directions. We've got many voices that we're hearing.
Right.
And the challenge is going to be to step back and hear His voice, which is often comes in a, what? Still and small voice. That's what we need to protect. We need to protect our peace, our ability to listen, despite all the voices out there. And they are clamoring. Okay? Let's go below the box there, the importance of prophetic ministry. I know that you know this, but the rhetorical questions, just ponder them. Why isn't there more prophetic engagement? If it's so important, why not? Are we being content with little power and gifts? Do we become too passive as spectators? Do we have a cause, and do we care about God's plan and purposes? If so, why aren't we fully engaged? This, well, you're here. That's proof to me that you're willing to engage.
Yes, yes, that's right. Say yes.
And the great news, it's not too late. He'll redeem the time.
Amen.
I'm reading the bottom paragraph there.
That's right.
And start advancing in the dimensions and levels of spiritual gifts and in the spirit of prophecy. And then I list 1 Corinthians 14:3, edification, exhortation, consolation. And then there's other listed purposes as well. Building, strengthening, comforting.
Yeah.
I'm page 3 now on the top. Calling things into being or into existence. Strengthening faith. Faith comes from hearing the
word.
Which is, that word is rhema.
Yeah.
Rhema is about 70-something times in the New Testament. It also confirms the word. 2 Corinthians 13:1. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. Strategies, calls to repentance, and warnings. But handle those carefully.
Yeah.
You who are carrying that rhema word. Handle those carefully. And we'll talk about that. The sidebar there, take a look at that. Now remember, we're not talking about basic stuff. We're talking about you've been practicing for a while, and you've been around the block.
Right.
You know things. Does the Holy Spirit give warnings? Yes, He'll do that. Okay? Don't be surprised. But he will do that. He'll do it in a loving way.
That's right.
Right? He's warning you. What? I don't want you hurt. Watch for this. Take care. It's the judgment prophets that you want to steer clear from.
That's
the judgment prophets who say, I've had it with you. You are destined for the pit of misery.
That's right.
I know, I took that from a commercial.
No, I didn't know that one.
Right? Remember, if you're in a word of warning, if you're delivering, it's about restoration. Okay? But it's always a great topic to discuss, because you'll get them once you get out there and you are in the ministry. And you've been in prophetic culture, you're going to get it. Next two bullets, prophecy can renew vision and purpose. So, yes. Prophecy can predict the future, of course. And then there's an example there. If the Holy Spirit lives inside you, and He's a person who speaks, wouldn't it be natural to have Him speak to you and then to others out of your own mouth?
Right.
Wow. That's part of the living river, yes? But think for a moment. Rivers can be forceful and deep.
Yeah.
Is your concept a narrow band of water, or is it a wide and forceful current? Your river can be expanded. The prophetic word is such a powerful gift, and God made it in such a way because that statement there. People need to find connection and purpose. This is the... Yes, there are many believers that statement applies.
That's right.
Does God hear me? How does God feel about me? Why am I here? What should I be doing? What should be my life's work? Where should I be? How can I leave a legacy? How can I move into the Spirit? Lord, can you just speak to me? Have we not felt that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Even people like us. But He has made a way for Him to speak to us, and that is through Ramas and through each other, right?
Yeah.
He's going to use you to speak to me and me to speak to you.
Yes.
That's the way He does things. Our prophetic ministry should be so deep and powerful that people are arrested and and say, God is with you.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? That's in 1 Corinthians 14. God can reveal a person's dreams through the prophetic. He can speak into a person's destiny, break the yoke of bondage, break down barriers, open doors. But note to self, it won't just land on us. We'll have to be deliberate and intentional with our lives. And I will be repeating that phrase. It almost seems too good that God equips us this way, but it's true. And the better we get at it, the more impact we can have to others. It bears saying that being a prophet or having the gift or being prophetic implies being in relationship with God, a unique and special one. And it means you have access to Him.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit, and you are endued with power. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says He has identified us by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. As the first installment, I love this translation, the first installment that guarantees everything He has promised us.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. New Living Translation. I love this example too. There's a lot more to this concept of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with Him. But also, here's one regarding the relationship of the prophets. Again, the person who knows God. Example is in 2 Kings 5:3, and that is the slave girl, the Israelite, who said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy."
Right.
So let's bring it all together. I am surprised I got through this. Let's bring it all together. The main takeaways. We'll need to know why. We'll need to know or remember our why. Why are we doing this? Well, we're doing it because people need us. We love them. We want God's heart for them,
yeah,
in us. And when we are in right relationship with God, He wants us to do this.
Yeah.
It's not just a, okay, I'm saved, and I'm spirit-filled, and I'm just going to go camp out in Arizona, in the wilderness, in the desert, and just be alone.
Conference in Tucson.
Oh, was I being prophetic? So we need to remember our why. Our motivation is about sacrificial love to please Him and build the church.
Thank you, Lord.
If we really love the church, we'll move and help support it through the gifts given by grace. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:16. We prophesy because we're invited and exhorted to, and because we should. It's available to us. But we'll need to be careful not to become self-willed and start steering ourselves. Now, let's say that you're out there and you're an experienced handler and you're my number one person. Again, if you start slipping in the relationship and start becoming self-willed, you know the dangers. There's a danger to that, right? Let's not get so confident, arrogant, and cocky that we start thinking, yeah, I've got this. I've got it.
All right.
And we start steering ourselves. Remember, number five, people need to find connection. They need to find purpose. And prophecy can help people with that. And I am sure that you have stories about that. And then turning the page to five, our prophetic ministry should move with deep anointing and depth, like 1 Corinthians 14. And I say should, because it's not going to land on us. We don't just get there suddenly, right? We'd like it to happen, and there are miraculous things that happen. I'm not discounting any of that. But to be a really good, skilled operator, I'm going to use a military or paramilitary term. That means you practice. You get on the mats, and you wrestle. That means you take the diet. You do the techniques. You do the learning. You read the books. You are active in the things that you really want to be skilled at. Too much? Too deep?
Not at all.
All right. Okay. Prophetic ministry, number seven, implies a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so His invitation to you and the invitation today is to go deeper.
Yeah.
The numbering is different. So if you go to section 1, page 5.
We don't have a page 5.
You're on the bottom of 3.
You're right here, page 3.
There's no page 5. Oh. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, number 7 then. Prophetic ministry implies relationship. And then this is an important point. This is something my mentor reminded me of when I was doing prophetic ministry. Remember that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not just knowing and understanding of what you're doing. It's not just speaking to people and trying to impart knowledge. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And that'll be thematic through the course as well. Okay, how am I doing, sweetie?
Good.
Where are you? There were some more things, but I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. All right. We're going to do some practice.
Yes. Oh, yeah.